Good morning, everyone. Can I just ask that we just give thanks to God this morning for our amazing worship team? That is such a fantastic thing. That was one of the great things this morning. We were praying that God would really just unmute our worship this morning because fantastic worship experience. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you have ordained and what you've prepared. We pray, Father, that you would now come by your Holy Spirit. Just have your will, have your way. Come, Holy Spirit, will you move freely among us? And will you prepare our hearts for what you want to do and what you want to speak this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark, please, Mark. I don't know why you asked me to speak again. My thinking is that I'm going to do this till I get it right. Yes, yes. This is not a comedy show. So, yesterday I went walking. I actually did walk on the beach. So we went to Mesoburg. I drove, my wife and I, and my daughter went, and I allowed them to run, and I walked on the beach. It was a beautiful day. And so I like observing. Sometimes I sit down and sometimes I walk, but I like observing people. And I noticed something yesterday morning, that there were people on the beach who were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Some of those bodies should not be on circles. I'm not judgmental when I say that. I mean, I just have to look at my own body. But some of those shouldn't be on surfboards. But they were out there, they were doing their thing, and they were enjoying themselves. Some were falling and enjoying falling, but they were having a good time. And even though I thought that they shouldn't be on a surfboard looking the way they do, well, even though I didn't think they should be on surfboards, but the great thing is they didn't listen to me, or to my thoughts at least. And I want to ask a question this morning. Have you ever stopped yourself from doing something that you felt you needed to do, and you didn't do it because you thought of what others might think? And so often we don't do what God wants us to do because we are fearful of what others might think. And the reality is that so often they don't even think those things. They don't even think about us or what we're doing, but the fear is what they might think, and we just don't go there. And so, my message this morning, or my question this morning, rather, and I'm going to have a few questions, but the one I want to start with is, how long will our weaknesses be an excuse for not doing what we feel we need to do? And so often we can mention weaknesses or lack for not doing what we feel we need to do. And so this morning, this message is going to be good news to some and not so good news to others, depending on which side of the fence you're at. Because I feel this morning the message is going to challenge your mindset. So I'm probably going to eradicate every excuse or every weakness as an excuse for not doing what God has called us to do. The word says that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That means His strength only begins when ours come to an end. When I can no longer do something in my strength, that's when my weakness starts, and that's where the power of God begins. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so His strength only works to the degree that I am prepared to admit my weakness, or to the degree that I am prepared to be vulnerable and show my weaknesses. And so as long as I'm strong, no other strength is needed, because I can do it on my own. And sometimes we ask God, where are you? And if we're not going to be weak, we tend to not even pray about things that we need. And so I was sharing a story with Mark in the week. So a young boy, about 7 or 8 years old, had lost his arm in a car accident. And he was really despondent, low self-esteem. He felt worthless. And this boy's dad had a friend, and the friend was a judo master. What do you call him? That was. So he says to the dad, "Can I have your boy and work with him?" And the dad says, "What are you going to do?" He says, "Well, I could teach him some judo, but it will be good for his confidence." And the dad says, "Okay, I'll give it a try." And he works with the boy for a year. And at the end of a year, he says to this boy, "Okay, now I'm going to enter you into a competition." And the boy goes, no, I've got one arm. It's pointless." And he says to the boy, "Trust me." And so this boy enters the competition feeling really negative, not confident at all. But to his surprise, he goes into his first bout and he wins. And he thinks, okay, this is good. And he goes into the next one and he wins. And so he progresses in the tournament. But for this year, this teacher had only taught him one maneuver. Is that what you call it? One maneuver, one move. And he just practiced this throughout this tournament. And he got all the way to the finals. And in the finals, he was going to face this bigger guy, stronger than him. And he said to his coach, "You know what? I'm feeling really good, but I've made it to the final. I don't need to fight the final. I'm already feeling good about myself." And the coach says, "We're going to go all the way." And so the finals were a bit of a struggle, but he won eventually. And so the dad comes to his coach and says, "How did my son win?" And the dad says, "It's quite easy." He says, "He's mastered this one very difficult maneuver. He's mastered it. He's perfect at it. And it's a very effective maneuver. And the only way for his opponent to counter this move is to grab his left arm." has become his children. And if we can use our weaknesses, because that's what God wants to do, that's when his strength is made perfect. It's in our weaknesses. So our weaknesses are not an excuse for God not to use us. This person standing in front of you this morning was an extreme introvert. Like extreme. I was quite bad. In fact, I remember the day that I gave my life to the Lord, and I had this urge to tell people. And the church we were at the time, they normally had like testimonies before church starts. It was a very traditional church. So they would sing choruses and have testimonies before church starts, and then the real church starts with the hymns. And I thought I need to share my testimony, and tell people that I have given my life to the Lord. And I went in, and people, so before service starts, everybody comes in. People were standing outside and talking. And as I'm speaking, I was so nervous that my voice actually changed. And people came from outside because they wanted to see who this person was who's speaking. They didn't recognize the voice. I was sounding completely different. That's how nervous I was. And so it's a complete miracle that God would choose someone like me to not I saw that. Not to smack talent behind the head. Accidentally. So that God would use someone like me who can't, I thought I couldn't speak in front of people. But he would use me. I mean, at school, when we had to do these orals, most times I was sick. I didn't want to speak in front of the class. And God has used what was my weakness for his glory. So, what is your excuse? What is your weakness? And how long is that weakness going to be an excuse because God wants to use it? Paul writes the following. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's foolishness is wiser than our wisdom. And what might seem foolish to us, God wants to use. I mean, Peter and Paul really. So Paul was the learned one, Saul. And you would think that with his background and his knowledge about Judaism, that God would use him among the Jews. God uses him among the Greeks, sends him to the Gentiles. And Peter, who was a fisherman, God sends to the Jews. One was not learned, not schooled. A rough guy, God uses him amongst the Jews. So how many times has God asked you to just step out and God pray for someone? And we've kind of blamed our personality and we said, Lord, that's not me. I don't do things like that. We don't say it to God, we kind of think to ourselves, that's not me. I've shared before that people would come up to me and say to me, Johnny, we're going to do ministry in prison. saying, but like inviting at the same time, and I'd say to them, I'll pray for you. Because that was not my thing. Then one day I went and God really caught me. He set me up good. And I went with some friends. They knew me very well. They said, Johnny, we're going to give food to the prisoners. And I knew they'd be left of us. So I went along. And God hooked me. I fell in love with that ministry. And still, till this day, I've built up relationship with guys in prison, and we still chat. Some of them have come out, some of them are still in there. But God has allowed me to see them as people and not as criminals. What is your excuse for not being who God has called you to be? So one of the things that often stops us or prevents us, like I've said earlier, we kind of think what people will think, and we go, I think I'm going to embarrass myself like that. Another thing we often consider is, what if I fail? Because I've tried before and it hasn't worked. And we become fearful of what might go wrong. And so I want to share something with you this morning. You know, when the Bible says, do not lie, and you lie, it's a sin. Correct? And if the Bible says, do not kill, and you kill, it's a sin. If the Bible says, do not commit adultery, and you do that, it's a sin. The Bible also says, do not fear. I want to show you God's, how God looks at fear. And this might shock you. Because actually, when we fear anything other than God, we're saying to God, God, I don't trust you in this area. So this is how seriously God views fear. In fact, someone says 365 times it is alluded to in the Bible, either implicitly or explicitly, that we should not fear. 365, that's at least once for every day, God says, don't fear. But listen to this. This is the same category that God places fear in. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 says the following. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So God puts fear with all of those other things. The fearful, he puts in the category of, he sees it as bad as the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and liars. I want to end with a story, because we're going to have communion soon. So, Muhammad Ali has a daughter, and her name is Leila Ali. And she followed in her daddy's footsteps, and she became a boxer as well. And she retired having fought 28 times and won 28 bouts. And but one of the fights was quite close. And so she decided that is the girl she's going to fight again. And she fought this girl again, and it looked really bad. She, yeah, like halfway through, everyone thought she was going to lose. But then she came back. She came back and she actually knocked the girl out. And at the end, she was interviewed and asked, how did you do that? How did you come back from that? You were down and out, but you came back. And she said, well, all I did was I remembered from the times when I was watching my dad fight. And there were times when he fought bigger fighters. And he seemed down and out, but he came back. He persisted. And so all I did was practicing what I had seen my daddy do. And so I was going to ask the question, so who is your God? I'm going to ask the question, who's your daddy? Because Jesus said this as well. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And if he shows me the way, if he shows me what to do, then I can know that I'm going to be successful at what he has asked me to do. And sometimes God will ask you to take on something that seems too big for you. And we can go, well, this is going to be a battle. But we can face our battles not wondering if we are going to have victory, but we can face our battles with the attitude of knowing that we have the victory because it's already been won. So every battle that God sets us up for, it's a setup for victory. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The word says, Paul writes the following. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So whatever it is that you need for your assignment, for your purpose in life, God will supply every need. And often we read that last part wrong because it says he will supply every need according to his riches in glory. He doesn't supply according to our need. So, if I'm living in a home and I call my dad and I go, Dad, I need rent money. If he supplies my need according to my need, he's going to give me rent money. But if he supplies my need according to his riches, he's going to give me rent money and food money for the month. Because that's according to his riches. Not according to my need. We serve a God like that. And he's going to give us the victory each and every time. And so this morning, friends, I want to say, we have no excuse. Because according to the word, when we are weak, we are actually not just strong, we are stronger. We're stronger than we could have been in our own strength. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, as I was thinking about this word, I believe that it's not just for each individual, but I believe it's for this community of faith as well, for this church, and with where God is taking this church and what He's going to do with this church. So the level of faith, I believe, has been raised. I want to say to you, if you want your faith stirred, come early on a Sunday morning and join the prayer group over there. What I experienced this morning was something amazing. It was real. It was real. And we experienced the presence, I experienced the presence of God while we were praying. If you don't know where to start, if you say, God, use me, and you don't know where, find a life group, join a prayer group, but do something like those overweight people on the beach. do something. God has victory in mind for each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm going to hand over to Peter now, who's going to lead us in communion. And so, yeah, Peter's got something that he wants to share, but I want to just also ask that as we receive communion this morning, that we also commit to Christ our weaknesses, commit to Him our weaknesses, and be vulnerable with God. That's the one place where we can be safe while being vulnerable. Amen. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, John. That's great. Morning, church. Wasn't that really an encouraging time in the Word? So what I want to do is just take a moment to look at a few scriptures. And the first one we'll see in Luke 22. It's quite interesting. Just look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the scribes are seeking how they might put him," that's Jesus, "to death." So that's the context of him talking about breaking bread. Quite something. And then if we look down in verse 15, it says this, "And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I'll never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then we go to verse 19. "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given or broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So maybe we can even think of him sitting with us this morning and saying, what I'm giving you is really, I'm about to get shattered because I love you so much, because I love the world so much. So when you take up the bread this morning, maybe just think of Jesus' words of when we give everything we have, he gave his life, and I'm giving you life because I love you so much. So dramatic, really. And so then verse 20, "And in the same way took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Just amazing, hey? So this broken body, this blood is the new covenant poured out for you in my blood. Drinking all of it. I mean, that's so. Let me just quickly turn to Paul. And he mentions this now in 1 Corinthians 11. And I'll just pick it up in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And so this is not after that time, obviously. So it's like us. remembering that incredible day. And we get given thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you, and broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in verse 25, in the same way, took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for what we have today to celebrate this incredible thing. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to see Jesus talking to the disciples and saying, this is, my body is going to get shredded for you because I just love you so much. My blood is going to get shed for you to cleanse you from sin, to give you hope and a future. And so, Lord, as we partake of these emblems of incredible memory now, Lord, I really pray that your Holy Spirit will come and just make us realize how safe we are in you. And even as John was saying, regardless of the challenges, Jesus has given every fiber of his being to empower our lives to walk with him in your full purposes. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, won't you bless these emblems, the bread and the cup to us, and help it just to be that thing which makes us feel so special and so loved, that we may love each other and you, Lord, with new passion and a new just desire, Lord, to be full representatives of Jesus in and through the communities where we are, where we do life, Lord. So grant that in Jesus' name as we continue. Amen. We've got the emblems here, so if you want to step up, and there's a table of emblems here, and the two there. Are there anywhere else? No? So it's those two tables, so do please sit on your seat and come and partake. And if you're in a life group, and you may be sitting together this morning, it would be so good for life groups to come together and even to share the emblems with each other. Amen. Bless you.